We thank you, God, for the teaching of Jesus. We ask you to speak to each one of us gathered here together today that we may hear the word of encouragement or hope or peace or love that we need. We pray for each one of us here, everyone gathered with each of us. We ask for your blessing on us now in Christ's name. Amen. Good morning, people of First Baptist Church. I'm delighted to be with you. I have been here as a worshiper quite a few times over the years that Zan and her family have been here, and I've heard a lot of good sermons in this place, and I'm glad to be able to share with you in worship this morning and be Zan's partner in leading worship, which is not something we've done for a long, long time. So this morning, you and I have the opportunity to listen to some teachings from Jesus. They're not very doctrinal. People have gathered to listen to Jesus for a long time now. People like us. People who are different from each other in many ways. And yet, who are somehow drawn together to the opportunity to hear from Jesus, which is a great opportunity, after all. So I'm delighted to join you in that today, and I've been kind of anticipating our listening together, but I started trying to listen to these parables early last week, and I've been listening to them pretty attentively. Jesus tells this series of short stories. It might make you want to say, well, what's the transaction here? It helps me see how all of our life is based on transactions, but he's not actually going there. He's inviting us to explore what heaven is like. That's an interesting approach. I think of that as, what is it like when life aligns with the love of God? Maybe we have curiosity about that, like Jesus did. And we ask with him, yeah, what is it like when things align with God's love? In Christian history, often, when the question of heaven comes up, the curiosity seems to be about somewhat different things. Sometimes the common approaches to the idea of heaven, I think, circle around questions like this. Maybe you'll recognize them. Who gets to go there is the first one, often. And the second and related one is, how do I get in? Which, if we come to these parables with those two questions, Jesus is not going to satisfy us this morning. Which I find interesting, frankly, and delightful. He takes a different approach. Instead of focusing on how we get into heaven or who gets to go there and under what conditions, we need to put all that to the side. What he invites us to do is imagine the heart of heaven. So he says, let me tell you some stories about what the kingdom of heaven is like. That's what he says over and over again. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed. The life and love of God is like a seed nestled in the ground, covered with earth. And while this seed is hidden in the dirt, in the darkness, it germinates and sprouts. And a little stem comes up above the surface of the ground. And the stem grows somehow into a bush or into a trunk of a tree, and branches from this stem spread out into the air. And birds come and land on the branches, and they rest there, and they sing there, and they make their nests, their homes there. That's what heaven is like, Jesus says. That's what the life and love of God are like. Can you picture it? Can you see it? I want to see it. Then another time Jesus says, "Let me tell you a story." Now, these people had all kinds of life problems, challenges, who knows what was bothering them as they sat there. And he says, the life and love of God is like a woman making bread. She's at the baking oven in the center of the village. She has some sourdough starter. That's one of the results of my research this week. It's likely it wasn't yeast in a little Fleischmann's package. It was actually a sourdough starter that had been fermenting for a while. So she takes this, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who takes this sourdough starter and mixes it in with that dry, powdery flour. So mixing in that yeasty, sticky, fermenting starter into the flour. And then she kneads it. I actually watched a YouTube video for how to make sourdough bread. I never did any of that, but so it was a nice picture of pulling the dough and shaping it and stretching it. And then she lets the loaf rest. And while it rests, there's something going on. You can't actually see it changing, but if you look at it once and come back a little later, you can notice it's changed. The moist, moist dough is slowly expanding and rising. It's breathing in a way. And when the dough has risen, she puts it in the village oven. And before long, there's a wonderful aroma in the air. And when it's time, a little later, she slides a beautiful brown loaf of crusty bread out of the oven and places it on a table. And then she gives you a knife and says, nods at you with a smile and says, "Go ahead and have a piece." And if you hesitate, she laughs and she says, "Go ahead, try it." And maybe you cut a slice off or you break a piece off of that fresh, warm bread and you take a bite. And you remember when your grandma used to make bread and the crust crunches beneath between your teeth. And you get to enjoy this wonderful taste and feel of freshly baked bread. And maybe you felt a little hungry before, but now you feel delighted. Your attention has moved from a hungry stomach to a delighted mouth. And satisfied in some way. And Jesus says, "My friends, heaven, the life and love of God, is like that woman and the sourdough bread. Can you smell it? Can you taste it?" And then again, Jesus says to a group of people like us, "Do you have time for a story?" They're always short stories. "Have you ever wondered about heaven?" he says. "About a time and place where everything aligns with the love of God? He may not have put these all together in one talk, right? They might have been different conversations. Well, this time and place where everything aligns with the love of God is like you're walking in a field and you're looking carefully at everything you see. You're paying attention to the bee balm and the rosy-colored milkweed and the purple coneflowers shining in the light. And young rabbits are chewing the grass and fresh cattails are growing at the edge of the pond. And as you look around this beautiful field, you're surprised to discover treasure that's been hidden there a long time in the field. Hidden a very long time. How long has the treasure been there? We don't know. Has it always been there? We don't know. How did it get there? We don't know. But when we find the treasure, we empty our bank accounts and our pockets, if we still carry money in our pockets, to buy this field where the treasure is hidden. Jesus says, the field of the love of God is like a field with hidden treasure. Are you aware of the treasure? Allow yourself to become aware of the treasure. It's satisfying to wonder what heaven is like with these kinds of questions and images, I think. It's satisfying to imagine what it's like whenever the kingdom of God comes. One more time, Jesus tells a story and says again, the kingdom of heaven is like, and I've planted it in our world a little bit. The kingdom of heaven is like you're on the shore of Lake Michigan. I realize I'm in the east side here, but I'm a west side guy. So I think of Lake Michigan. For us, Lake Michigan is sort of the center of the universe. So you have to bear with me here. Heaven is like you're on the shore of Lake Michigan looking for a Petoskey stone in the sand beside the cold, clear water of the lake. And suddenly you stop in surprise. All your life you've been sort of paying attention. Is there a Petoskey stone around here? But suddenly, just inches from your bare foot where the waves wash up, there's a stone, a beautiful Petoskey stone. You can hardly believe your eyes. You've walked this beach hundreds of times and didn't see it. But today you discover this gorgeous stone. And you pick it up and it's all wet with lake water, so it shines and you can see the Petoskey markings easily. And you cradle that wet stone in the palm of your hand, and the people on the beach are watching you and they see you smiling. You're enjoying the beauty of your lucky find. And you feel like you've been looking for a stone like this for your whole life. And here it is. Right here on the beach beside your wet feet. And Jesus says, the heaven of the love of God is just like that. Just like that. So I wonder, how might receiving these stories shape our hearts and minds? How could these stories influence our lives? If we tuck these stories into the soft earth of our hearts, if we let them rise and bake in the warm oven of our minds, I wonder what treasure we might find. I wonder what will learn. I wonder how it might free us from the cycles we feel trapped in. What if we tuck these stories into our hearts, somehow this week hang out with them a bit, and see what we discover? That's what I wanted to share with you today. Amen.